This is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Phoebe Judge. Jody Magnus is an archaeologist and a professor at UNC Chapel Hill. She's just back from a dig in Israel, where her team has been uncovering the remains of a 5th century synagogue. The floor of the synagogue is covered in brightly colored mosaic tiles, which depict different stories from the Old Testament. Her first bit of luck was actually finding the synagogue itself in 2011.
Well, we didn't actually know for sure that there was a synagogue of this type before we started digging. And we certainly didn't know if there was a synagogue of this type. We didn't know where the synagogue would be located because, you know, it's a big site and it's all overgrown and covered with tumble and weeds. And really, by luck, we came down right on the eastern wall of the synagogue in that very first sounding that we made.
So all I'm envisioning is this dirt,
yes,
and then you're chipping away, and all of a sudden you see some glint of color, and you think,
yes,
oh boy, I found something.
Yes. Well, the first mosaics that we discovered, in fact, of course, we didn't know we were going to hit a mosaic floor, although we had been finding little stone cubes, what are called tesserae, that make up a mosaic floor, but we had no idea that the synagogue had a mosaic floor. It's actually not typical for a synagogue of this type to have a mosaic floor. So the very first discovery was actually by a student who had just finished his BA but was not studying archaeology and had never been on a dig before and was digging through the layers of dirt with a hoe and felt his hoe hit something clinky. And he got very excited and called me over, and I took a little brush and we brushed and we could see some mosaic under the dirt. And that was when we called the site conservator.
And what did you find when the site conservator came and, yes, was able to open that mosaic up?
Well, that very first mosaic was really spectacular. The first thing that peered out of the dirt was the face of a woman. And it turned out that we had a Hebrew inscription flanked by the faces of two women, one completely preserved, which is that first one we found, and the other side of the inscription has another face, but most of it is gone. And then after that, we found more mosaics in that same square, one just a decorated border along the inside of the wall. And the other was our first Samson scene, which was Samson and the foxes. That's a biblical story that's related in the book of Judges, chapter 15, where Samson takes revenge on the Philistines by taking 300 foxes. And he puts them in pairs and ties their tails together and puts lighted torches between the tails and sets them loose to burn down the agricultural fields of the Philistines. And what we found was a part of the scene showing a couple of foxes with their tails tied together and a lighted torch between them and part of Samson's body next to them.
This is 5th century?
Yes.
So how rare is finding something? You said that mosaics are rare in synagogues for this time period, or can be rare, but how rare was it to find such a detailed scene?
Right. Well, actually, to be accurate, mosaics are not rare in synagogues in this period. And having biblical scenes decorating synagogues is not rare, but Samson is rare. We only have one other scene of Samson in an ancient synagogue in Israel so far. And coincidentally or not, that synagogue is located only about 5 miles south of our synagogue. So we now have the second only ever Samson scene from an ancient synagogue. And in fact, we have three scenes now, because in addition to our first Samson scene, in 2013, last summer, we found another Samson scene in a different part of the synagogue.
How big an area are you working in?
So we have about 20 meters of the east wall and just a little bit of the south wall uncovered. And it's clear that the synagogue continues to the north and it continues to the west. So we have a lot of work ahead of us in the coming years.
That must be so exciting. I mean, how do you not... Now you've been there for a month and a half. You're back here now. You teach at UNC. And you probably have to wait until next summer,
yes,
to do more. I mean,
yes,
you must just dream about what's under,
yeah,
the rest of it.
Well, you know, everybody says that. And to tell you the truth, I am a little bit curious, but I'm also a little overwhelmed, because the most important thing about archaeology is to publish what we dig up. And so it's not like I'm actually sitting around and dreaming about doing the rest of it. The first thing that I want to do is write up what we've done.
Which is why you're an archaeologist and I'm not, because I would be thinking about getting my little toothbrush out and scraping things away. So Samson, that was a gigantic find,
yes,
only the second. And you also found another discovery.
Yes.
What else have you found?
Well, last summer, 2013, we found more mosaics. So we found our second Samson scene, which is Samson and the Gate of Gaza. This is a scene and a story that's related in the book of Judges 16, where Samson goes to Gaza to sleep with a prostitute. And while he's in with the prostitute during the night, the people of Gaza decide that they're going to wait and lie in ambush for him and ambush him when he comes out in the morning. And he fools them by getting up in the middle of the night, and he goes out and he literally picks up the gate of Gaza, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it to the direction of Hebron. So we found a scene showing Samson literally carrying the gate of Gaza on his shoulders. It was really quite amazing. And then last summer, we discovered part of another mosaic, and this is really an extraordinary mosaic. It is a panel enclosed within a decorated ribbon border, and it is divided into three horizontal registers or strips, which probably should be read as a story, a narrative, beginning from the bottom and going up. So the bottommost strip shows a soldier who's lying on his back holding a shield and is pierced by a spear and gushing blood, and next to him, a bull that is also pierced by spears and dying and gushing blood. And then in the middle strip, or the middle register, the central male figure is a large, elderly, bearded man who is seated and holding what appears to be a scroll. And then we have the uppermost register. And last summer, we only had part of it uncovered, the lower part, where we could see on one side an elephant with shields tied to its sides. This summer, we uncovered the rest of the upper panel, and it turned out to be something completely different from what we originally thought it would have looked like. It turns out to have two large central male figures. The figure on the right is dressed like a Greek military commander, and he is also made to look like a ruler. He's got a purple cloak, and he's got a diadem with a ribbon tied around his head, and he's bearded. And he is accompanied by an army that is organized like a Greek army. And this Greek military commander slash ruler is leading a very large bull by the horns. And then on the side are two battle elephants with shields tied to their sides. Last summer, we saw one of those elephants only.
Will you talk to me about the oddity of the elephants
on
the floor of an ancient synagogue?
Well, so what is all of this? It's very hard for us to know who these figures are and what this scene represents. Nowhere in the Hebrew Bible are there stories with elephants in them. So clearly this scene is not drawn on the Hebrew Bible, on the Old Testament. It must come from some other place. What I've suggested, and again, we can't be sure, this requires a lot more research, is that we may have a depiction of the legendary meeting between Alexander the Great and the Jewish high priest. Now, the Jewish high priest never met with Alexander the Great. But in the centuries after Alexander's death, when he became so famous, the Jews, like many other ancient peoples, wanted to associate themselves with Alexander and with his greatness. And so legends began to develop about a meeting between Alexander and the Jewish high priest. But again, this is something that's going to require an awful lot of research. And my mosaic specialist is going to be working with other specialists in looking at both the iconography, that is what the actual images show us, as well as investigating ancient literature, ancient stories, to see what matches up best with what we seem to have depicted in this mosaic.
But the first time a non-biblical story has been found in an ancient synagogue.
That's right. The first time a non-biblical story has been found in any ancient synagogue, which is really quite extraordinary.
You know, many archaeologists wait like a whole lifetime for one big find. You've had three in the last 3 years. What do you think about that? Are you just lucky?
Yeah, I feel very lucky, actually. It is lucky. And if we weren't to find any other mosaics at all at this point, I would feel like I have already discovered more than my share of wonderful, lucky stuff. There's a saying in Hebrew, Dayenu. At the Passover Seder every year, there's a song that's sung. It's called Dayenu, which means it would have been enough. And in this song, the Jews thank the God of Israel for all that he's done for them. And they say, if he had only freed us from slavery in Egypt, it would have been enough. But he also gave us the Torah, and that would have been enough. But he also did this. And it's the song goes on and on. It would have been enough. It would have been enough. And every year at the end of our excavation season, I say, Dayenu, if this was all that I had discovered, it would have been enough. And then every year we come back and we discover even more. So it's really been an extraordinary experience.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me about it.
Thank you.
Jody Magnus is a professor at UNC. You can find out more and see several images of the mosaics at our website, wunc.org. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.